I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Years ago, the New York Times was asked to help a group of women decide on the 12 greatest women in the U.S. After due consideration, this is what the editors replied. The 12 greatest women in the United States are women who have never been heard of outside of their own homes. Now, you can tell from that quote, that was quite a number of years ago. So, who was greater, Thomas Edison or his mother? When he was a young lad, he was referred to as the boy with the scrambled brain. His teacher even sent him home with a note which said, "Your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him." Mrs. Edison wrote back, "You do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself." And as we say, the rest is history. Now, I know you may not be Thomas Edison, but I'll venture to say that your mother had a major impact on your life too, and perhaps especially through her prayers.
I need the prayers of those I love while traveling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
Thank you, men, for that reminder of our need. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. Maybe you're tuning in for the first time, and you're not familiar with this program. If that's the case, you need to know this weekly broadcast is centered around the teaching of God's Word. Here on The Voice of Hope, we accept the Scriptures as the Word of God and as the pattern by which we live our lives. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm happy to have you join me as we study the Word together. Now, I began the program with a comment about mothers, and maybe you're thinking, Mother's Day was last weekend? Yes, you're right, but we had begun a two-part message from Daniel chapter 2 that I didn't want to interrupt. And another thing, you may have heard a message on Mother's Day at your church last Sunday, so we're just spreading things out a little bit. On this edition of The Voice of Hope, we'll look into God's Word and learn what it says to women who are mothers. Contrary to much of popular opinion, the Bible affirms motherhood as a high and a noble calling. But before we begin our study, let's look to the Lord for His blessing. Gracious God, Father of us all, we bless You and honor You. In Your perfect creation, before sin entered the world, You designed and formed Adam's wife Eve, the very first mother. And now, Father, even though our lives have been affected by the sin of our first parents and marred by our own sin, help us to see the beauty and dignity You have designed in motherhood. Encourage our hearts through Your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, I worked with a man who had been a pattern maker in a foundry. The use of wooden patterns in the foundry died out as newer forms of mold making came into existence. Changes in manufacturing and services occur more rapidly in our day than they ever have before. The vast majority of those changes are good, even though they're painful to those whose jobs are eliminated. But these rapid changes have led our culture, and sadly the church, to view long-established biblical patterns as out of date in our society. Many times they've been carelessly discarded as new patterns, fashioned from the religion of humanism, have taken their place. You know, we've had several decades to observe the impact of rejecting biblical patterns, and the results are not good. The principles God has given us in His Word are universal and timeless. While the applications of those principles may change, the principles themselves are relevant in every generation. The necessity and beauty of motherhood is one of those biblical principles that has been rejected by many in our postmodern culture. And yet, God's design persists. I want those of us in the community of faith, the church, to re-examine the biblical commands that guide our understanding and practice of this most important of roles. We believe and teach that God's Word gives us the pattern for women as mothers. As we consider this subject, I invite you to turn in your Bible to Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. And here now is the Word of God. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Notice that our text begins with Paul's instruction to Titus to provide wholesome, truthful teaching. If there were ever a need for an honest and balanced teaching of the Scriptures, it's today. This chapter includes instruction for several specific groups of people within the body of Christ, the church. We will focus specifically on those parts that speak to motherhood, and then by God's grace we will attempt to provide wholesome, truthful instruction that will help you understand and follow the pattern of women as mothers. In this text from Titus chapter 2, we'll look at three parts that make up the biblical pattern for women as mothers. The first part of the pattern is providentially assigned. Notice that God has assigned the older women to be teachers and mentors to the younger women, especially to younger mothers. So I speak first of all to those mothers who've raised their families or those who are significantly farther along in the process. I see something happening in many congregations today that concerns me. Interaction between the various age groups is becoming more limited, and often it's done by design. Many congregations have age-segregated Sunday school classes, older women who are mothers in one class and young mothers in another class. So my question is, if there is little or no interaction between the age groups, how can this biblical command for mentoring take place? Our text reminds us it is important for the older women to conduct themselves in a way that promotes holy living. They are to set an example for younger women, especially in their role of motherhood. They are not to be false accusers, slanderers, or gossips. The older women are also warned here against being slaves to wine. So, what is the application for us today? Well, drunkenness is often a result of idleness. If you're busy with responsibilities, you don't have time to engage in destructive behavior, whatever form that takes. Or drunkenness is sometimes used to try filling a void in your life that you don't know how to deal with. Any kind of destructive behavior like this will prevent you from being, as the last part of verse 3 says, teachers of good things. The older mothers are to be lovers of virtue, and they are to teach the younger mothers valuable skills. Verse 4 says the older women are to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. You know, this is so important, especially today when so many families have fractured and splintered. Now, I do believe that the responsibility for family breakups in most cases rests primarily with the husband. But that's a subject for another time. Wives need to be taught how to be husband lovers. That's literally what this means. A loving wife is a great asset to any husband. From my perspective as a husband, I can assure you wives that your love and respect for your husband is a tremendous force for good in his battle to maintain fidelity and moral purity. Now, in verse 4, we may wonder why Paul states something as obvious as, teach them to be children lovers. What does that mean? Isn't it normal for mothers to love their children? It's true, God has given mothers an innate desire for nurturing their children, but it still needs to be developed. In addition, all humans are born with self as their number one priority. And as followers of Christ, that selfishness must be unlearned. If you are an older mother or grandmother who has taken seriously this assignment from God to teach younger mothers, then God bless you. You understand that you are providentially assigned to this ministry of encouraging and discipling younger mothers. Love them by sharing your wisdom, your time, your expertise in whatever way is needed. God, their husbands, and they themselves will bless you for it. Now, let's move to the second part of the biblical pattern for women as mothers, and that part is morally refined. Verse 5 states that older mothers should teach younger mothers how to be morally refined. Paul uses the words discreet and chaste. Let's look at these words more closely. Discreet is another form of being sober. It means to be self-disciplined in one's freedom, to be self-restrained in all passions and desires. It also carries the idea of being careful of appearances. And you know, this is so important in our climate of moral looseness. Clear boundaries must be established for appropriate behavior between married women relating to men other than their husbands, and vice versa. Many, many relationships have been destroyed by a lack of care in this area. Mothers who leave the home for the workplace and mothers who have little support from their husbands are especially vulnerable. Older mothers can offer counsel and encouragement, warning and guidance in these relationships and how they should be handled. Being discreet also speaks of making wise decisions. Older women with more experience in life can provide counsel to help younger mothers make wise decisions. They can also recommend sources of reliable information. Many decisions that mothers make have long-term consequences in their own lives and also in the lives of their children. Wise, older women will encourage young mothers to look to their husbands for help in making decisions, because a husband's input provides spiritual leadership and protection. Another word Paul uses here under morally refined is chaste. It means to be pure modest or innocent, not provocative. I appeal to you, mothers, to pay special attention to this. You are setting a pattern for your sons and daughters. If you use your physical beauty or sexual attractiveness to gain attention or acceptance or approval, your children will follow your example. They will focus on physical beauty instead of developing the inward beauty of godly character. Mothers need to help their children, and especially their daughters, to understand that their sexuality is a gift to be treasured, not an enticement to be flaunted. As you older mothers build relationships with younger mothers, you can lovingly point out to them areas of behavior that need attention. The home should be a haven, a place where sons and daughters don't need to face the temptations of the outside world. And the local church should be a safe place too. God's pattern is that mothers, both older and younger, must be morally refined. We move to the third part of the pattern for women as mothers, and that third part is mothers are to be domestically inclined. In verse 5, Paul says the older women should teach the younger ones to be keepers at home. The literal meaning is those who stay at home, and carries the thought of being domestically inclined, having a desire to create a home and to use it as a primary point of ministry and service. This is a special challenge in our day when motherhood is viewed as an inferior choice by many and an illegitimate choice by radical feminists. I fear the culture around us has had more influence on us than the scripture itself. The materialistic worldview of our culture has seeped into the church. For many people, things have become more important than relationships. In ancient Israel, God condemned the idolatry of the people and how they sacrificed their children to the Canaanite god, Moloch. We are tempted to look at them with disdain and say, "How foolish! We would never do such a thing." Yet today, little children from Christian homes whose lives should be primarily shaped and molded by the care of their mother are shuttled off to daycare and sacrificed on the altar of career or possessions. Or they're plunked down in front of the widescreen to watch some video concoction of a humanistic expert who says this will make them miles ahead of their peers when they begin school. I tremble because I know God will not overlook our carelessness and our disobedience indefinitely. I believe this text we're looking at, as well as numerous others, teach that the primary place for mothers to exercise their God-given abilities is in their home. Now, it's not the only place, but it is the primary place. And I know our culture and the feminist movement have degraded the position of motherhood. But as Christians, we don't take our marching orders from the culture. Mothers, what greater impact could you have on the culture than to raise godly sons and daughters? Don't send your children off into someone else's care so you can minister to another group of people. Make your children your primary ministry and show them by your life and example how to reach out to others. Let God develop your ministry in your home, and when you're successful there, He can expand it far beyond what you've ever dreamed. Now, I will admit, there may be some cases where a mother with young children must work outside the home, but that is not the biblical ideal. If you're a single mom, you may have no choice. But even there, I believe it's part of your extended family's responsibility and your local church fellowship to help you so your time spent away from home is kept to a minimum. Most people I know who feel that the mother must work outside the home in order to make ends meet just need to trim the ends a little shorter so it's not so hard to make them meet. I encourage all mothers to follow God's pattern of being a keeper at home. Next, Paul says mothers should be good. That's an emphasis on good character that comes from the inside out. Mothers who concentrate on fulfilling their God-ordained role will develop godly character. They will serve their husbands and their children unselfishly with a loving heart. They will cultivate a meek and a quiet spirit. They will be gentle and kind. They will provide a godly role model for sons and daughters. and they will have the joy of seeing their children walk in truth. God will give them eternal rewards for their obedience. Finally, then, Paul says the older women are to teach the younger ones to be obedient to their own husbands. You know, that's a powerful principle. A woman who willingly and cheerfully takes her place under divinely appointed authority will experience the approval and the blessing of Almighty God. And her children will, in the words of Solomon, rise up and call her blessed. Now I want you to notice the final words of this verse. All these things we discuss today are to be done so that the word of God is not blasphemed. I believe the Bible teaches that a mother's greatest influence on her world is accomplished through the training of her children. I pray that God will reward all the mothers who are listening today. And I offer special encouragement to those young mothers with several little ones. The mother who seems to get little more accomplished than caring for her children and the needs of her husband. Young mothers, sometimes you may feel like your life is just going in a circle. Like it doesn't count for much. Let me encourage you, when you have those feelings, just go look at that precious little one sleeping in the crib. Or take that little chubby face, smudged with the remnants of lunch, between your hands and look into the face of Jesus himself. For it was he who said, "Whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Mothers, remember, you are impacting both the present and the future. There is no higher calling than motherhood. God bless you. You will have a righteous person's reward. As we close, let's recap the three parts of God's pattern for motherhood that we've looked at in this teaching. First, your role as a mother is providentially assigned, whether young or older. Not every woman has this special privilege to be a mother. You have been blessed singularly. The second part of the pattern for you as a mother is to be morally refined, to demonstrate godly character from the inside out, to be thoughtful and modest in your appearance and your actions. And then the final part of the pattern is God's call for you to be domestically inclined. May God bless the teaching of His Word to our hearts today. Friend, I hope and pray you were encouraged by this study on women as mothers. If you know someone who would benefit from this teaching or be encouraged by it, you can get a printed transcript or an audio CD for them. Or you can urge them to go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen at their convenience. Now, the easiest way to make your request for a copy of the program is by using our email address, HOPE, at heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website at Heralds of Hope and listen to today's teaching when it's convenient for you. Now we invite you to visit our Facebook page too, where you can see a daily prayer request, you can learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony from the life of someone that has been touched through your partnership. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope at heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. While you're there, you can also listen to our archived programming, and you can listen to today's broadcast, Women as Mothers. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week, and until we meet again,